This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 335 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne, back from the land of the US of A, Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you?
Sorry, everybody, I'm back.
Did you have a good time?
Where?
In the US.
Oh, there. Yes, yes. Well, I wasn't trying to kill the children. It was awesome.
You know? Well, all the photos that you posted on Facebook looked very family friendly, so.
Yeah, that's because you're not allowed to post that all the time. You put your hands around your children's neck and just throttling them, saying, shut up and listen, or go to sleep, or eat your food.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had a good time.
We had an awesome time. It was good. We did a hell of a lot. I tell you, my poor kids, like especially my littlest one who's only just turned 5.
Yeah.
I was walking 16,000 steps a day.
Wow.
So she's walking 30,000 steps a day every single day. Yeah. We'd be out walking for 12 hours. Yeah, we'd be out and about every single day.
Wow.
I think she complained twice of having tired feet.
Yeah.
And only once fell asleep whilst we were out.
Wow.
So we did Disneyland, and we were there we'd leave like 7:30 in the morning, walk all day and get back at 10:30 at night.
Wow.
Leave at 7:30 the next morning, be out till 10:30 at night, leave at 7:30 the next morning, be out till 10:30 at night again, and then walk the entire day in queues, in heat, everything else, no complaints.
So you did 3 15-hour days.
Yep. Of constant Disneyland, constant movement. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then I said, yeah, in New York, every single day we walked, 10 hours every single day in New York. Yeah. So the kids, they did amazingly well. They saw we packed their schedule extremely tight.
Right.
And they saw a hell of a lot. So we squeezed in just about everything we wanted to do, which was awesome.
They probably loved it when you went off to do a workshop, because they were probably able to collapse in a heap.
Nope. Then it was mum's turn to take them out and just go completely crazy.
Well, that's what you think.
When I was there, they were at the zoo, they go to the Met, they were walking in Central Park, they're out.
Yeah, cool.
A fair whack of time again. So
awesome.
So yeah, no. So we had a very lovely time, almost photography free. I took one camera with one camera and one lens.
Right.
Just aim, pointed, and pressed the button. Didn't try for any art whatsoever.
Right.
But
you did do some workshops while you were over there, didn't you?
I did two workshops. Yeah, workshop. And the day before that workshop, I did test out the new Tamron 85mm lens. So 3 days of thinking about photography.
Yep.
3 weeks of just family snaps and just for normal stuff. And so I took the Tamron 28-300.
Oh, nice.
It's a great lens. It's tiny. It's a wee slip of a thing,
right,
size-wise.
On which body?
On a 5D Mark III.
Right.
So big body, but small lens.
Yep.
And other than feeling it wasn't wide enough a few times, it was a great all-around lens for something like that.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's a pretty all-encompassing range.
It is. It's great. I personally prefer something like a 24-200.
Yeah.
Given the choice,
or 20-200.
I mean, if it'd be fussy.
Well, I'm just thinking, 28-300 is essentially a 10x.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 20-200 would still be 10x.
Yeah. It's just that
would harder. That would probably be a little more practical.
A little bit more bulky, like a shipload. Yeah. But it was a great general. So I mean, we always go back to if you don't take one thing with you, what would it be? It's a pretty darn good all around. General purpose piece of kit.
Yeah.
So that was good. So it said didn't take an awful lot of arty photos on the trip. It wasn't really about that. Did take a couple of nice ones with the new 85mm Tamron, which I've got to say I fell in love with. It's just an amazing, amazing lens.
This is the 1.8?
Yeah, 85 1.8 VC, vibration compensation. The only 85mm lens in the world with VC, with stabilizer.
Wow.
And when you're bouncing around on a subway, I shot a handheld, moderately slow shutter speed, 1.8 aperture of my daughter on the subway and you're bouncing along.
Yeah.
That image stabilizer comes in very handy, I tell you.
Yeah, right.
And it's sharp as a nun's tongue. So
nice.
very, very nice. But it rained every day in New York, which is not a not fun. Right. You know? I mean, it was like...
Oh, that's right. The sun came out on the last day, didn't it?
The day we flew out, beautiful. Yeah. First day we got there, started a bit miserable, but it was beautiful in the afternoon.
Right.
And the last day as we left, it was, you know, as we're leaving, the sun was everywhere, you know.
Yeah, right.
Just leaving at 7 in the morning or something, you know.
Right.
And it rained every... And the heaviest rain was the day before the 2 days of workshops. So it's like, just stressing like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
And the 2 days of workshops for a single drop of rain.
Yeah, right.
So very, very, very lucky. But every other day leading up to it, you know, 6 days leading up to it, poured. Yeah, well, it rained.
Yeah.
And it's cold. It was like 50 degrees. So we've noticed that now, 14 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, you right.
know. Pretty darn miserable.
There's you've got something scraping up against your microphone.
Have I? No, I haven't.
What's that?
Nothing. Where?
Whatever it is, I keep hearing it.
The microphone's a mile away.
Very loud.
Well, the microphone's a mile away, just sitting there by itself.
Scratching noise.
See that? That's me scratching the microphone. Does it sound like that?
No.
See, because it wasn't that.
So it wasn't that. About that. So what is it?
It's that.
No, it's not that.
That?
That.
That's the computer. I was cleaning the computer. Ooh, a little bit of dirt there. I'll just clean that off. Ooh. You just get OCD.
Well, can you leave that until some other time?
I'll just fiddle with this instead. It's the sound effects show. Welcome to the sound effects show, everybody. Who can pick this from our secret sound?
So, how did the workshops go?
Oh, they were terrible.
Right.
They were pretty good, but I talked about the dress drama before I left, did I not, on the podcast?
Oh, about your mate who threw the dresses in the
away. Yeah, in the charity bin.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, trying to organise these new dresses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this fashion designer came on board and said, "Yeah, I'm happy to help you out, no problem at all." And I was driving down to the town she's at, which is about 4 hours from New York.
Yeah.
I was there for a whole weekend. She goes, "No worries, I'm free this afternoon, free this afternoon." So I get there and I'm texting her, nothing. I'm calling her, no answer. I'm Facebook messaging, no answer. Mm. 3 days. The 3 days I'm there, I'm texting continually, no answer.
Let me guess. She's expressed the date as month/day.
She's just not contactable.
Right.
So I'm kind of stressing, as you can imagine. This is the only access to dresses that I've got. And I had to go back to New York. So, but fortunately, some people from the area were coming up for the workshop. So I said, "Look, if I get a hold of this woman, would you be able to bring the dresses up?" "Yep, no problem at all." So that's good.
Right.
Finally, the Tuesday, so this is, you know, 4 days later, you know, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was down in her area.
Yeah.
Monday, still no. Tuesday, she finally calls. "Oh, I was down doing weddings for the weekend."
Down where?
I don't know. I said, "But you checked your calendar." I didn't say this to her. I felt like I said, "You checked your calendar and you said you were free and you gave me these 2 dates." You know, no worries. She goes, "No, I've got a wedding dress organized for you. Look, it's a $10,000 dress."
Oh, shit.
I've got this other fashion outfit I'm designing for you, and I've gone, "It's a how much $1,000 dress?" She goes, "Oh, it's $7,000 US, a $10,000 Australian dress." And I'm in New York, it's pouring down with rain, we're walking through Central Park all mud, and all I'm thinking is, "I'm going to destroy this dress."
Yeah,
this,
right.
It's going to be absolutely stuffed, and I'm so a new level of stress, a whole new level. Pain. So I can't use this dress. The only wedding dress I've got for this wedding, it wasn't officially a wedding shoot. It was a Central Park couple. It was going to be couples.
Right.
And I decided I'd make it wedding. So, you know, the customers weren't expecting wedding, but that's what I'd kind of envisioned.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, my beautiful dress I bought, thrown away.
Yeah.
The replacement phenomenal dress, can't use because, I'll destroy it. Yeah. So I got in touch with a camera store down in the same area who I've done some workshops for, and they said, "Look, we've got a wedding dress laying around. You can borrow that." So, so they loaned us that. Yeah. Of course, we completely trashed it. Yeah. Completely. I mean, the bottom foot of it was black by the end of the day. Yeah. It was just because you can't.
Could you not have found like a secondhand clothing store that you might have picked up a wedding
dress? That's kind of convenient if you know the area well enough and if you've got time and transportation.
This awesome thing called Google.
Yeah, but when you're family holidaying,
yeah, okay,
it's not, you know, it's like you don't have time to.
Can you stop cleaning your keyboard?
I'm not cleaning my keyboard.
What is that noise?
Noise. It's the same setup I use every single week, and nothing's changed.
You're doing something. Anyway, keep going. Yeah.
Is it this noise?
No.
Can you hear that one? That's me rubbing my eye. I'll get close to the microphone, see if you can hear that. What noise is this?
It's not.
I'll move the microphone.
Okay.
If that makes a difference.
All right. Anyway.
Even though it's in the same position it always is.
Okay.
So I've got this wedding dress. Then the guy I'd organised as the male model doesn't show up.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh.
After confirmation emails, confirmation texts, blah, 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 doesn't show. Oh. Fortunately, the woman, the female model, which is obviously the more important, but it's like, could anything more go wrong, you know? But the day went okay. We got some okay shots, and then the following then this other outfit. Now this designer's really out there kind of designer, and so she's made up this thing, and things the only way I can describe it. It's like this purple corset top,
right?
Well, can only be described as a purple nappy dress,
right?
This big dangly thing with a black dress that goes under it, and then like this silver dress that goes under the black dress. Okay. And it's supposed to be this kind of modular thing that kind of, and I just had no, it just was the weird, it was like trying to photograph an octopus or something. I've got no idea. Half the time the photos, because the black just sort of disappeared. It looks like she was either floating in midair or something, just chopped her body off, her leg off. that was tricky. But everyone who came along had a great time, and they all got stuff out of it, which is kind of what you want. And
yeah.
I was very pleased for it to be over and be back to just go to Disneyland.
So did you sort of change the theme of the shoot, given that there was no couple?
I still had shot a bride, basically. We just shot a bride. And then I stepped in and said, this is what I'd do if I had a groom. This is what I'd do if there was a groom. This is how I'd shoot it, you know. So, thought I'd throw that little bit in there anyway.
Wow.
But yeah, so it was challenging, shall we say? You know, your holiday's going to cost you at some point, and that was it. But I said I tested this new Tamron 85mm lens; absolutely fell in love with it. If anyone's looking for something in that sort of portrait range, I can't. I've used a lot of 85s in my time. I don't think you can beat this thing. It's just remarkable. And I was really delighted to see DP Review, or D Preview, whichever you prefer, did a big real-world samples of the 85mm lens. So I thought I'd put it for people to look at.
Yeah.
And it's of exactly their normal quality.
Right.
Absolutely diabolical. I mean, trying to show off an 85mm 1.8, okay?
Yeah.
Now, before looking at the images, Bruce, would you want to see in the if you're trying to assess this as an image? If someone says, "Oh, I want to show you this portrait lens," what would be the first thing you'd want to see?
A portrait, more than likely.
And what else in the shot? What kind of background?
Well, probably some soft focus bokeh.
Really? And some bokeh of flowers in the background.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, given that
it's an f/1.8,
shot number one is this god awfully lit, horribly posed portrait with a black background and two random lights, street lights or something. So you can't see what the focus is like.
Right.
Every single shot that would have some hope of showing what the out of focus background would be like, you can't see it in the photos. They're just the most diabolically shot, as per usual. I mean, I'm not sure why I expect anything different.
Yeah.
Oh, god awful. Just, you know, and this is an industry resource that people want to go to learn stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe learn about comparing. I said, I've always loved it as a site to compare one model of camera versus the other, but to actually learn how to take and do a photography, for God's sake, no. No, I say no.
Oh, well, the hand and the dog, while it's an absolutely appallingly composed image, at least it's got some bokeh to it.
Shows what the background's like, yeah. As you say, absolutely appalling image is doing it justice, you know?
Yeah.
So, beautiful lens. That is just dog's vomit, quite frankly. And I just, you know, this site must rake in a fortune.
Oh, they must.
Employ someone who can take some photos.
Yeah.
One person who's got some, that doesn't have to be great art, that doesn't have to be fabulous, but just moderately well composed, moderately well lit, showcasing what the tool's supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's all you want.
It's not a lot to ask.
doesn't have to be fabulous. Oh, it's a portrait lens. Looks like a few nicely lit portraits and looking at how different objects in the background render out of focus.
Yeah.
Oh, no, call me stupid, but, you know, maybe that same shot at, say, three or four different apertures, the same photo, three, so you can see the differences the apertures did. I don't know. Yeah.
Yep.
Simple stuff. You can look at lens and make an educated choice. The only redeeming feature, yeah, I will see for them is people can look at it and they can aspire to that lowness. Yep. I can do shots like that, no problem.
Maybe that's why they put up samples like they do.
So you can go to some sites, you go, I'll never take a photo like that. No point buying that lens.
It's so nobody feels outclassed when they go, oh, I could never shoot that good.
Even with this really expensive lens, I can shoot as bad as that. Now, I did notice that whilst I was away, you had a few more guests.
I did?
And I noticed Rob Coates came on.
Yeah.
How'd he go? How'd
he go with what?
The critique of his photo.
God, that was a month ago. I don't remember.
Well, I almost turned on the podcast and listened to it. Yeah.
But you didn't get that far.
Then I got distracted by something interesting.
by something shiny.
Did he take it in the best possible manner? And I noticed no one else has sent photos to us.
As I recall, he took it well. Yeah.
No one else has sent anything else in to us.
No, they haven't.
Oh, yeah, that happens. so much for our regular segment. Now, I did see something whilst I was away that kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Right.
A new printer.
Okay.
Which is, for me, you know, I'm not a big printer person, but this is a printer called Glowforge.
Right.
And it's basically a laser, like a genuine, actually cutting laser printer that you can etch. Like, for example, you put your brand new shiny, it's a 3D laser printer.
Right.
Okay. So you get your laptop, your lovely shiny MacBook Pro, you can put it into this printer and it will etch any design on the cover of it for you. So
wow.
If you want one of your photos etched into the actual metal of your laptop.
Whoa.
And it senses what product's in there, so it knows all about its thicknesses and everything else. They're doing this thing, they showed this thing where this woman got a piece of leather, drew a design for a wallet on it, drew the little holes, little points where she wanted the holes to be put so she could stitch it, and the machine cut out the leather, punched all the holes for her automatically.
What?
All she had to do is sew it together.
This thing
is amazing, you know? It's like, wow. Yeah, and this is like a whole new world of printing.
Oh, look, 3D printing is phenomenal, but this is etching.
This is not like the plastic infused whatever the stuff they do where they build up a 3D subject. This is you can shove in a piece of metal and it will cut out that piece of metal.
Yeah, it's
laser cutting, not just even etching.
Right.
So it was the fastest. Ever, the biggest ever crowdfunding campaign in history.
Yeah.
In 30 days, almost $28 million. The printer's under $3,000 for the brand new, first ever thing like it.
Yeah.
Is just astounding. Yeah.
And you know what?
What?
5 years from now, you'll be buying these for $100 a piece.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I remember I watched a little bit of video, and these people have invented a whole bunch of other stuff. I just can't remember what. But so they've got some history in.
Oh,
but
not, oh as not, in the same company has same developed company,
but,
some
but,
other
but
stuff,
not,
right?
But not print, not actually like a fully fledged product. They've done like software or stuff. Let's pull up the About Us. Hang on a second.
I'm just watching the video that just keeps looping around on the homepage, and
yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
It's remarkable. It's just
and $3,000, you said?
Under $3,000, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I reckon there's a whole business opportunity here for people too. People could get a couple of these and start doing stuff at shopping centres and designing all sorts of stuff. And
definitely.
Very, very cool piece of kit.
Definitely.
People might want to have a bit of a gander at. And I mean, you can imagine doing like 3D laser cutouts of portraits.
Yeah, yeah. I could see this just being, you know, the sort of set up on the shopping centre just before Christmas and make an absolute killing with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of tool.
Yeah, it's yeah. Imagine you could cut out and have your photo taken with Santa, then they could laser cut the 3D Christmas cards for you.
Yeah,
right. Wow. I saw something a little bit disconcerting. So I thought, but they're about Sigma offers part replacement on some of their lenses are scratching the Pentax K1. Some of their lenses that's designed to go on Pentax are causing some problems. So if you have some Sigma lenses and or thinking about getting a Pentax K1, which I might say looks like quite a remarkable piece of camera too.
Yeah, David Kembry's pretty excited about that camera.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, it looks very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do have any, maybe it's worthwhile having a look at that. Yeah, that's a little advisory.
Certainly do some research, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you know, I saw this thing where this model drowned doing an underwater photo shoot the other week.
Really?
Yeah, she had an asthma attack, so they say, underwater, but they didn't have the appropriate safety measures in place to save her and all this sort of stuff. And she was an experienced diver. She's not just like a everyday just model. She was also a diver as well, so she had some skills.
I'd never considered that combination of somebody who suffers asthma who also scuba dives. Because you obviously can't just pull out a Ventolin puffer when you're 50 meters underwater.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
That's very sad.
It's horrendous for her and her family, obviously. Yeah. But what brought to my mind is, you know, what are our responsibilities when we're photographing the models? We have to be, we have all these ideas, we're doing stuff, and we really should be really thinking about, oh, let's just stand on the edge of this rock face here, let's take a photo of you and it with a sword.
Oh, I don't know where you come up with these crazy ideas. Who would do that?
we have these big responsibilities.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, I saw today the people who do Portrait Pro, Portrait Pro is where you get a portrait, funny enough, that you've taken, and you open up in the software. It does all the skin smoothing, gets rid of wrinkles, lightens eyes, sharpens eyes, all automatically. Reconfigure face shape slightly. It takes a lot of all that legwork.
So it's a web-based version of Photoshop Actions.
Not web-based. It's a full-on piece of software.
Oh, you download and install the software.
Yeah, so it's an expensive. It's like a $120 piece of software. It's an expensive, moderately expensive piece of software.
Right.
But it probably goes a bit overboard with its fixes. But it's actually quite an amazing piece of software in how it works. But they've just come out with Landscape Pro now.
Right.
And Landscape Pro, funny enough, for landscapes.
Right.
And I thought, I know there's probably the odd person listens to the podcast that might do landscapes. The odd people running the podcast do landscapes. But this thing, it allows you to change. So they say it's the easiest way of changing skies, of doing cutouts around. We do trees. You want to change something behind a tree, be able to mask it out. You can relight the landscape. Which direction light comes from. And it's on half price special at the moment for that, and obviously a free trial for people who want to try it out.
Yeah.
For anyone who's sort of interested in looking at that. My only concern is, I'm not sure, because I haven't actually looked into it deeply enough, you can change skies and put these like different clouds and stuff in the background, but if you've only got like 10 to choose from, you probably get a bit sick and tired of having the same clouds in your photos all the time.
Yeah, right. You're not
going to import other photos of clouds, hopefully. But
yeah, right.
I'm sure it's going to have its place, its application.
Hmm. For anyone who's interested, it's usually $99 Australian, and it's currently
$49.95. Yeah.
So
half price.
That would be half price.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I got. That's all. Right. That's all. After being away a month, I came up with three things.
That's all you came up with?
Impressive when you think about it.
Excellent.
And two of those were today. And one was last week, which I was ready to record last week, but you chickened out.
I honestly didn't want to reach out to you because I didn't want you to feel pressured to pony up for a podcast like 24 hours after you got back.
I was actually setting up the
you're kidding?
Just as you texted through, I've gone, oh, that's handy. Went straight back to the lounge room.
Sorry, mate. I should have given you more notice. Like, I should have texted you a couple of hours before.
No, it was good. I was good. You know, it's like when you're dreading something. Not that, you know, where you're, oh, let's go do this, and then they don't have to do it. It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's like
it's went like back you know, to the when, wife and said, I'm off the hook.
No, it's like when you wake up in the morning, you think you've got to go to work, and you realise it's a day off.
Yeah, nice.
And you get to go back to bed. It's just kind of that kind of feeling. Awesome. So anyway, what have you
lovely.
Got?
Well, the only thing that I came up with, I've got some things from other listeners, but the only thing that I came up with was something I saw, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on Facebook, and it was a quote by Brian Eno, who's quite a well-known music producer.
He is.
Talking
Heads, one of his...
Yeah, many, U2.
U2.
Neil Young.
Other people.
He's collaborated with a lot of artists and a very respected producer. Anyway, he wrote a book years ago called A Year with Swollen Appendices. I have no idea what the book is about, but this quote
about his year with swollen appendices
could have been. Who knows? Anyway, I liked this quote. Whatever you now find weird, ugly, uncomfortable, and nasty about a new medium will surely become its signature. CD distortion, the jitteriness of digital video.
CD distortion. Does CD have distortion? Does it?
It does over form, yeah.
Okay.
The crap sound of 8-bit, all of these will be cherished and emulated as soon as they can be avoided. It's the sound of failure. So much modern art is the sound of things going out of control, of a medium pushing to its limits and breaking apart. The distorted guitar sound is the sound of something too loud for the medium supposed to carry it. The blues singer with a cracked voice is the sound of an emotional cry too powerful for the throat that releases it. The excitement of grainy film, of bleached out black and white, is the excitement of witnessing events too momentous for the medium assigned to record them. I liked that.
Yeah. I haven't seen many people longing for the blocky, pixelated images of the 0.3 megapixel cameras, though.
No.
We don't have them anymore, yet I don't see many people saying, I've got this lovely retro camera. It's 0.3 mega. Look at this. The face is two big blocks.
Yeah.
But it's true, though. But a lot of that sort of stuff is reaching back for childhood and stuff. As well, there's other reasons why people want to listen to vinyl again. There's other reasons, other than fidelity or whatever it may be, or there's lots of.
Oh, I honestly believe vinyl sounds better than CD, than digital.
Yeah, so I just can't tell the difference.
Really?
Yeah, but I have no.
Have you done an A/B comparison between an MP3 of a song and the same song playing off vinyl and being able to switch A/B between them?
What do you think?
Probably not.
Not in the world will I ever consider doing that. What kind of tosser would... That's as bad as someone sitting there with a Canon and a Nikon photo taken. They're trying to compare the different... Who cares?
Well, what kind of tosser would do that? That would be me.
You.
Yeah. And I have done it here in my studio with great quality monitoring.
I'm sure you don't do it. I'm sure you do it daily, dude. I'm surprised you've done it once. How many times have you actually done it?
Two or three times.
How many times really?
Two or three.
A day?
No.
Okay.
Ever.
Don't you like play, what's this album sound like? What's this? And aren't you pulling out lots of different ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do it to show other people. Like, mm-hmm. I did it once to prove it to myself, mm-hmm. and was blown away by how much better vinyl sounds. Anyway, we're getting off the track.
Oh, but it's you to a T.
Yeah, probably.
You are an engineer for a reason, dude.
Yeah. All right. So Greg H, via the Shutter Zinc website, said...
Someone went there, didn't they?
Sorry?
Did someone go there?
The people do go there on occasions, mate. Regarding
what's it?
Oh, it looks appalling.
Does it?
It looks absolutely hideous.
Oh,
yes. Okay. The 90s called. They want their website. I really wish I had some good design skills when it comes to web pages, but I don't. So, anyway, Greg H said, Regarding the drone, you'd pointed out previously that it was a plastic bag. This does show the damage that media can do to an entire new industry, though. First report something incredibly damaging on the front page in every publication possible, then report the correction in small print on page 38 a few weeks later.
Welcome to media.
Yeah, so now most people believe a drone hit a plane and that didn't happen. Actually, considering the number of drones out there and the very low number of incidents, most owners are very responsible and are following the rules and being safe. Which sounds like a valid point.
Footage during the week of the bride on the beach being hit in the face by a drone.
That was awesome. I'm sure it wasn't awesome for her.
We laughed and laughed. Yeah, this is better, that was better than cat videos.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, that's media to a T. They make a mistake and then they'll never. Oh, I've never seen a headline. We made a mistake.
No,
headline, front page.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Steve Peter sent us a couple of stories. One was the truth about photography workshops, but I think we'll just steer clear of that.
The awful truth. It sounds good.
Oh, you have you read it?
I did glance at it last week. I thought it seemed so much common sense that why you'd even write an article about it. It's one of those typical articles for the sake of having an article.
Yeah, it seems like
it. If you're going to go to a photo workshop, look at the guy's work before you go. Well, no shit, Sherlock. Really? You know what I mean? Really? Yeah. You want to see what the person can, if they can take photos before? That's a great number one. Number two, look at the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, if you're spending a lot of money on a workshop, you want to see what the cancellation clause is. That's fabulous,
You know why this article exists, don't you?
Just because it needs to fluff up someone's pillows?
Well, it needs to fluff up a web page full of ads.
Of course.
that's the only reason.
This is review clauses. Pay attention to any review clauses. This is one that troubles me the most. I've seen more than one workshop host ban you from leaving anything but a positive review in public. I don't think that would even exist. Five, the photographer's background. Search the photographer's background. Doesn't that come along to like what was his photos like? Isn't that the same as Ella?
I would have thought so.
Check out their work. How long have they been in business? How long have they been in business is irrelevant.
Yeah.
If they're still in business, that can be important. It's hard to book into something when they're no longer in business.
Yeah.
The fee. Look at the workshop fee. The higher the fee, the less likely you'll be sold anything. What a codswallop. I take classes from both types of photographers, and I know and expect when I go to a $100 workshop, I'm going to be given the hard sell on actions, forms, pro. He's going to the wrong places. I'm not an expensive workshop place, and I don't sell anything.
Yeah.
Except the next workshop.
Yeah,
that's it for me.
That's fair enough.
Also, if I go to a $2,000 workshop, I don't expect to be getting sold anything, which I think is rubbish as well, because the guy using that high-end stuff's probably got some hell of a lot more cooler things that's a lot more interesting maybe.
Yeah.
It's just Steve Peters. He should know better. He's been doing enough of my workshops to know how awesome workshops are. What's this automated selfie sticky sensor?
So Steve was ordering one of these on your behalf.
Oh, was he? Good on him.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that tag on Facebook.
This is the is that a selfie stick in your pocket or are you just happy to see me kind of product? Because this thing has a handle that has a retractable automated selfie stick like an antenna, telescopic antenna.
Oh, good. You have to extend it yourself.
Well, you just push a button and then off it goes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
In fact, it shouldn't even have to push the button. It should be once it's at that elevation, a certain angle, it knows that you're going to do it.
It should just know.
Why else would I be walking around with the stick pointed at that angle?
That's right.
It should. I love it. The automatic selfie stick.
So you need to have a look at that video in your own time, mate.
Well, to me, the ideal automatic selfie stick is one that just hovers around me and takes photos of me as I walk around, you know?
Yeah, like the drone that you throw up and it flies all around.
That's the
you.
One. Yeah, it just hovers around. That makes much more sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last story that Steve sent us was the data recovery interview. And this was a text interview with David Zimmerman, CEO of LC Technology, a company that does data recovery. This is obviously fairly technical and you're probably not all that interested in it unless you've actually lost some data and then you're probably interested in it.
No, then you're still not interested. You just want to... Is that not more true? I don't care how they recover the images. I don't give
just
them
get
back.
Them back.
Just yeah. The images. Yeah. I don't care what logarithms or altitudes or conundrums or witches spells you use.
Yeah,
just get me my images back.
The next story was from Carl, and this was off Petapixel, and it was all about Adobe discarding metadata when processing from RAW to JPEG. So apparently it turns out that when your camera shoots a RAW file, there's a couple of hundred different fields of metadata that are all included with the RAW file. And apparently when Lightroom exports a JPEG from a RAW, it only keeps the more common stuff.
Yeah.
And this whole article was all about, hey, Adobe, stop, making decisions for us and just include all the metadata in the exported JPEG. I can kind of see that if you're trying to make a JPEG, you obviously care about the file size, and a lot of this metadata is stuff that you would never care about.
Yeah.
And that's probably the reason. I don't know. I haven't reached out to Adobe to ask why they do it, but I'm guessing that it's all in aim, of keeping file sizes to a reasonable sort of limit.
There's so much stuff in here that's absolutely just...
You'd never care.
Who cares about any of it just about? Shutter speed, aperture, ISO, done.
Oh, white balance?
No.
Who cares?
Who cares about white balance? It doesn't matter what white balance, if it's stuff up, it doesn't matter what mode you had it on, it's the wrong one, It's a RAW file, you can slide it whatever you damn well want, If you're exporting to JPEG, who knows? Okay, maybe for those people that way inclined, I'll let them have white balance, but I'll let them. It's up to me.
Yep.
But, it's just like, the stuff on that thing, you can see, you completely understand why they cut it out. I mean, knowing that you've had the live view switch turned off, well, that's important to have in your data. I mean, that you had the auto exposure bracketing auto cancel was turned on.
Oh.
So if you happened to have done an auto exposure bracketing sequence, it would have automatically cancelled at the end of it. That's good stuff to have in your
To know.
That would have made a difference the next time you shoot. Knowing what kind of focusing screen you have on the camera, very, very handy. And if you have the LCD illumination during bulb, is it turned on or turned off? Even if it wasn't being shot at bulb, it's nice to know that had you chosen to do that photo on bulb mode, LCD illuminator was turned off.
The lights are off and nobody's home. Also heard from Rob Coates, and I think this was via the website as well. Another interesting podcast. Thanks, Bruce and Steve. The Broken Statues.
That man has low standards, doesn't he? I mean, really? low standards for interest.
Really. How would you know? You haven't heard it.
Well, I know you and I know Steve.
Okay. Read the broken statues and vandalism that's done by people taking selfies. One can only hope that natural selection will kick in and increasing numbers of them will succumb to the died whilst taking a selfie phenomenon. As for the idiots setting fire to things with burning steel wool, those photos are so cliched and done to death. Find something original to shoot your wallies. Keep up the good work, Rob Coates.
Yeah, there's a church down here burnt down the other week. Doing a spinning sparky thing again. I was in New York, there was a church fire that we saw the following morning, the remains of. It happened during the night. I walked across the road in the morning to get breakfast stuff for the family, and saw the front cover of the newspaper with a photograph of this church on fire, and it was so, oh my goodness, amazing. It was an incredible photo. So much so, I'm glad we brought this up. I'm going to send it through to you, a link to it now. Have a look at that. This photograph of this church on fire is just amazing.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah.
What a shot.
It's like the gates of hell coming out.
That's exactly what I thought. It's just
wow.
A phenomenal image, It's right around the corner from the Flatiron Building, for those who know New York. And
oh, that's the one that's shaped like a wedge with the two roads going either side of it.
The Flatiron Building, yes. Yeah. Not this church with the...
No.
Yeah, but wow, that shot is just remarkable. Yeah,
that
just,
is amazing. I will post a link to that image or just grab
it. And there's lots of other images online of this. That is just... But I saw that in the front cover of the magazine, of the newspaper. I was like, oh, look at that.
Wow. That's full on.
Astounding, yeah.
While you were away and Steve Peters came on, we were talking, there was a story about how photographers have become like pigeons, which is they turn up, make a lot of noise and crap on everything, which was all about, you know, this slew of stories that we've heard over the last 6 months of photographers causing damage to things, you know, whether it's the idiots doing backflips off the tree in Wanaka, or, you know, the guy with his spinning steel wool burning the boat in California. And, you know, it just seems that every week there's another story of photographers doing stuff that, you know, brings the whole art form into disrepute.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Adam has posted a story this week again from Petapixel about these filmmakers who were in Yellowstone's Grand Prismatic Spring and walked, you know, climbed over the safety barrier and walked out into the middle of these, you know, pits and springs and whatever, you know, damaging the ecosystem.
Yeah.
And, you know, all for the sake of getting the shot that, you know, no one else could get because everyone else was obeying the rules and staying behind the barrier, you know. And it just so happened that somebody who was not part of their group, who saw them do it, photographed and videoed them doing it and then, you know, brought it to the world's attention and caused this photography group to have to, you know, backpedal and, you know, try and get away from the horrible PR that it caused them. It's like... Jeez.
Dave Duchemin put up a good post the other day about it. I'm just trying to see if I could find it because it's from his home, Canada.
Right.
That these guys are from. So he had, as usual, a fairly good balanced thing to write and say about it, and worthwhile having a bit of a read. It's about these exact guys, and it's basically how we can do better, and it's a good little article. Just
cool. Okay. Well, I'll add that to the show notes alongside the link that Adam sent us.
Yeah.
And the final one was from Adam as well, and this was from DontTakePictures.com, and the blog post is called "The Evolution of the Camera in 130 Years of Advertisements."
Oh, cool.
And it's really good. I don't know if you pulled up the link there yet.
No, just doing it now.
All
yeah.
these old camera advertisements.
I love old camera adverts. It's just one of my favorite things.
And it's so interesting to see the progression over time. And
there's some awesome adverts on YouTube from like the 50s and 60s from Kodak and Polaroid and people like that.
Like TV ads.
TV adverts. And it's just great.
The one I find really odd, or a couple that I find odd. One is 1954 General Aniline and Film Corporation.
The one with the guy being shot in the back.
That's pretty full on.
It's color photographs to fight crime.
Yeah, there you go. and then half a dozen past that is one for Minolta from 1997, Extreme Fetish, Extreme Fantasy.
Oh, I remember selling that camera.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I didn't see that advertising.
No.
there's some cool stuff. Michael Langdon doing Ready in a Flash. There's even a Woody Allen advert in there, which is
cool. With him with half a dozen cameras around his neck.
Yeah, it's got a cool bit of style to it.
Yeah. And I like the Nikon one. One of the few things on the space shuttle that didn't have a backup system. That's a good ad.
That's great.
So there's some fun stuff there to have a look at.
If you want to watch some videos, just go on YouTube and do old TV camera advert. You'll find some cool stuff.
Cool.
Ah.
Excellent. Well, good to have you back, mate.
It's good for you to have me back.
How long are you here for?
I'm here for a while, actually. I've got a some workshops in Perth next month, but that's not going to bother us.
Your escape money's run out, has it?
No, and my workshops in the Mojave Deserts had to be postponed.
Oh, I didn't know you were planning one.
I was doing a weekend with Dave Honnell out in the Mojave Desert.
When?
In August.
Oh, okay.
His mum has fallen unwell badly, and she's been put into hospice care, and he's had to travel to the other side of the country and stay with her for
an indefinite period of time.
Yeah. And right. So that's all unpleasant for him. So we wish him the bestest.
Yes, we do.
I'm theoretically still going to America in August as well, still, but for a few dates. But you'll see how that pans out.
Cool.
But I'm home for a while. Next big trip's me and Ma in November.
Nice.
Nice to be home for a while.
Nice. Yeah. Excellent.
Let me just do this for a second. Is that annoying?
No, it's not that sound.
Isn't that weird? See, I moved the mic. It must have been the mic. It must have been vibrating or something.
I don't know what it is. Weird. That.
Oh, that.
That.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a USB connector. It's a bit loose.
What are you doing with it?
It was a bit loose. I just pushed it back in.
Well, have you been playing with it for the whole of the 50 minutes we've been recording?
No, it's just then.
Well, it's been making noise the whole time.
But it mustn't have been in the whole time. That'll do it. Fun.
Technology.
So good to be back.
All right, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
See ya.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.